So let us start with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for the word of God, which is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. We thank you that we have the privilege of having free access to your word to strengthen us, to correct us, to encourage us, and to bring us, draw us closer to you. So come, Lord Jesus, and be with us this morning as we open up this passage in Luke. And may my words and be from you, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage in Luke always makes me cringe. And I couldn't believe it when I looked at the lectionary that it was today. I tried very hard to preach on a different subject, but God kept on bringing it back to humility. And I think he was trying to teach me. So the things that I've learnt through studying for this passage is what I have learnt from God and from other commentaries and things like that. So very often when, you know, I'm sure Mel feels this as well, you have sort of imposter syndrome when you're standing up and preaching. I feel very much like that this morning. So hopefully you will learn something out of this. Hopefully God will work in your hearts, because he certainly did in with me this week and a couple of weeks as I've been preparing this passage. And so I'm preaching on humility, which is not my strong point. So here we go. So I'd like you to imagine the scene in Luke 14. It's the Sabbath, and Jesus has been invited to the home of the leader of the Pharisees, the Jewish priests, with whom he often has disputes. And yet, and still, he associated with them, and he spent time with them. I found that very challenging for a start off. Not to mould into their way of thinking, but to model the values of the kingdom of God. And he modelled humility. The Pharisees probably would have been suspicious of them, intrigued, maybe, or even jealous, because he was bringing life. Bring a life-changing teaching and healings and miracles. The Pharisees undoubtedly would not have liked the attention he was getting, especially when he was challenging them and their behaviour. And so, And the opening verse is one Sabbath when Jesus went to eat to the house of the prominent Pharisee, an important Pharisee. He was being carefully watched. And that really challenged me, because we as Christians are carefully watched by the world. We might not think we are, but we are. If we claim to be a Christian, it's amazing how people just, it's almost as if they want to trip us up sometimes, or maybe we watch the way we react to certain situations in our lives. So I found that very challenging to begin with. I want to just explain the Jewish custom. I don't know if it's still like this, possibly is, but in ancient Israel, if there was a feast, and of course a Jewish wedding was a magnificent feast, went on for days, and the way they were seated would have been this, like the pecking order. So the table would have been like a U-shaped or a rectangular shaped, and at the top of the table would have been a bench with three seats. And the most important, the most prominent person would have been in the middle, and then the next prominent person to the right, and then to the left. And then the next bench would have been to the right, and then the most important, the right to the left, and then the left, the most important, and then the right to the left, so, and so on. So these Pharisees, whoever would have been invited to this important feast, would have known the pecking order. And Jesus could see them jostling for the most important seat, and that's the bit that makes me cringe. You know, you can imagine if somebody sat in the wrong place and they said, "I'm sorry, you can't sit there. You've got to move," and you end up the only seat left is right at the bottom. Pride before a fall. And actually, I don't know about you, but I go through life thinking, ah, pride before a fall, often things in my own life, not necessarily the way where I sit, but something happened earlier this week. I don't know if I can remember it, but anyway. But yeah, life is full of pride before fall. Jesus didn't, he wanted to rebuke them, but in a gentle way. He did it with humility by telling them a story, a parable, which is always his way of correcting us in a gentle way with humility. And so he says, don't choose the best seat because someone more important may be invited and needs that seat or is invited to sit at that seat. And so go and when you enter in, just take a lesser seat. And whatever is left, as I say, could be at the foot of the table where the lowly place is. I've already said this, I'm sorry. And I just wonder, when I was reflecting on this passage, I thought, I wonder where they would have put Jesus. He should have been at the head of the table, but whether they acknowledged that, probably not. But of course, at the Last Supper, he would have been at the head of the table. Jesus encourages us to take the most lowly place. So if we are moved, the only way is up. That's a good way to be, isn't it? It's better to hear that to say, oh, can you? What on earth are you doing sitting there? Move down. And I remember many years ago when I, one of the churches I regularly went to, I decided, very often we sit in the same place, don't we? That's what we creatures of habit. And one day I thought, I'm going to sit the other side of the church, be a bit rebellious. So I went and sat in this seat, and this lady came up to me and said, you can't sit there, that's Doris's seat. And I thought, well, I don't know who Doris is, but she's obviously more important than me. Anyway, I moved. So anyway, Jesus is not giving us worldly advice, but teaching his people to be genuinely humble. He is teaching us to be truly humble person will finish up where they ought to be and receive the honour that is due. And he says in verse 11, for the proud will be humbled, but the humble will be honoured. And the message version of the Bible says, if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself. I really like that. If you simply be yourself, you become more of yourself. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us humility brings wisdom and honour, spiritual riches and life. And I don't know about you, but I yearn for those things. And C.S. Lewis wrote, humility is not thinking less of yourselves, it's thinking of yourself less. In other words, blessed forgetfulness. I heard, actually, I think it was Tim Keller that said, blessed forgetfulness and putting others first. The world view of being humble is, like a word that describes weak and feeble and maybe flaky. But a biblical humility is a strength, the deepest of strengths. And those that are humble, you'll find, are the most secure in Christ, the most emotionally healthy. And I was just reflecting on church leaders like Pete Gregg and who else was that? Tim Keller, who's recently passed away. R.T. Kendall, such a humble man. All these wonderful church leaders. And Nicky Gumbel, he was another one who's very humble. So what does humility and being humble look like in our lives? And this is where I really had to look things up because I've got a bit lost on this one. So I've got 5 points very quickly. First is refusing to compare one another and even with ourselves. And that's a big one. If our identity is in Christ, we shouldn't be bothered about what others think. And to compare people with others, oh, so-and-so doesn't do it that way. And actually, it doesn't matter because we're all individuals and God realises that. And if we realise who we are in Christ, we won't have to compare ourselves with others. Secondly, do other people's situations have an effect on the way we feel about ourselves? Do we rejoice with those who rejoice? Or do we feel jealous? Do we mourn with those who mourn? Do we smile to ourselves and think, ha, they deserve it? Hope not. Or, oh, that makes me feel better. Thirdly, exhibiting patience when we are not the centre of attention. And I have noticed over the years, not necessarily just in church life, but it does happen quite a bit when we are in conversation with somebody. Very often somebody comes up and starts interrupting, and actually maybe we need to hold back a bit and wait for the other person to stop talking to each other. And that is challenging me. I am the first to put my hand up on that one. And it was really funny this morning. I preached it at 9 o'clock, and they were all holding back afterwards. It was very funny. I thought, oh, they were listening to the sermon. Anyway, point number four, speaking encouragement to others when they deserve it. So important. You know, I just look around, there's so many people here that do amazing things for God. Do we thank our wonderful worship leaders, Jonathan and Jacob? Do we thank Leroy for doing the safeguarding? Do we thank Stephen for twiddling the knobs at the back with the IT? Do we thank those that prepare talks like Mel and the others? Do we thank our PCC members and our church wardens? Do we thank those that prepare the prayers and the readings? You know, it's always good to encourage others when encouragement is due. Not to be superficial, but when we really feel blessed by what they do, it's really good to encourage them. We all need encouragement. And lastly, forgive others and refusing to hold grudges. Wow, the grudge bit was the bit that challenged me. I find, you know, walking through forgiveness can be quite painful. It can be massively painful. But to not hold a grudge, I find quite a challenge. When we are putting our trust in ourselves, our titles, our positions, our financial status, that's when pride comes in. And that's when we become insecure and we want to feel more important. And that's when pride is often before a fall. And in the Jeremiah passage, they turned away from the Lord. They tried to do things in their own strength. They were digging their own cisterns that were cracked and broken and useless because it didn't hold the water. And how often when we do things, even doing things for the Lord, do we do it in our own strength? That challenged me. God wants us to look up and acknowledge his love for us, to grasp how wide and how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:18. When we are secure in him, we are more likely to be humble. Philippians 2:5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. He had the choice. He could have, when he saw the soldiers coming, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have bolted and hidden, because he would have seen the soldiers coming probably a mile away. I've been there, and it's the most amazing place, at the Garden of Gethsemane. He would have seen the soldier. He could have run away, but he chose, out of humility, to be obedient to God. What depth of humility did God have to come down to earth and take on human flesh? Jesus never tried to defend himself. He loved those who mistreated him. It's so important for us to love and treat those who are deemed unimportant, maybe, the same way as we would those who are important, those who have authority. We are all God's children. And God cares for the invisible. Maybe times in our lives we do feel a bit invisible, when we're not encouraged, we're not noticed. We feel that we've been overlooked. But God cares for each and every one of us and loves us all dearly. And when we recognise that and recognise his love for us and look to him, we are more likely to become humble in his sight and in the sight of others. Not that that matters. Anyway, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that has certainly challenged me. And it's hard at times to be humble. So help us, Lord, to know and recognise who we are in you, to one of the songs we sang is come as we are to worship, and help us to come as we are before you and to receive your love for each and every one of us, Lord. Give us strength when we feel weak. Humble us when we get too proud. Show us your love and shine your light into our hearts and minds so that we can shine your light into the lives of those around us. The way we live may be the only Bible that people read, so help us to be ambassadors for you as we go about our days, our lives. Fill us with your strength, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We want more of you, Lord, and less of us. More of you, Lord, and less of us. We lift all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.